who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. We used to sing that around here a long time ago. Before some of you, but not before some of you. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. You know, sometimes you see something in the simplicity and the familiarity that just speaks to you. And all at once, there's just some encounter with God in a portion of Scripture that you may have thought you had exhausted. You ever had in your life a scripture and you just stand on it and stand on it and you quote it and you got it on your refrigerator and you got it on your mirror in the bathroom and you've quoted that thing enough and you have dived into that scripture so many times and you think there is not possibly anything new that could come from the scripture. And then you're reading that scripture and you say, wow, I just never thought of that before. Just never thought of that before. I want to encourage you, if you got a bulletin this morning, you need to go back after we're finished this morning. When you take that home, you need to go back again and read what I put in there. And you might even want to go to that scripture in Ezekiel and read the parts of it that I didn't put in there. But the emphasis that I was trying to make is the idea that is presented in one scripture that if anybody knows any scripture, and that's all the scripture that they know, it will be Psalm 23 and verse 1. Psalm 23 and verse 1. How many times have you read that? How many times have you heard that? How many funerals has that been read at? How many times, you know, if a person has never been exposed to anything Christian or never been exposed to church of any kind, it might not be such a rememberable scripture. But if you've had any connection with church through your life, that's one scripture that you know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, when you read the scripture that was in the bulletin, the one from the book of Ezekiel, you find out that Jesus was being promised there to become shepherd. God said, I will shepherd my sheep. And what I want you to think about this morning is this. Think about, I'm going to read this scripture, and you see if there's any difference in the way I read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I read the same thing every time. But if you paid attention to the way I read it, it set a different thought in your mind each time. The first time when I read it, I put the emphasis on my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The second time I read it, I put the emphasis on I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then I read it, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the part that I want to talk to you about this morning. That's what I want to share with you in our time together this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. Who's yours? Because the truth and reality is we all have shepherds. You know what a shepherd is? A shepherd is something that it influences your life. It's something you follow. Shepherds were never known for driving their sheep. They tended their sheep. They met all the needs of their sheep. But they were known for leading their sheep. And you know, the devil, the antichrist, the anti-shepherd, he will drive many times. He will drive people. But before he drives them, he will encourage them to be led. Devil doesn't drive people into sin. He leads them into it. He doesn't show you the awfulness of the pit. He doesn't bring you up to the edge of the cliff, show you the fire down in the canyon, and then encourage you to jump off or run over there and try to push you off. He camouflages the edge of the cliff. He makes it look like green pastures and still waters. And he comes at you and says, come on now, follow me. I've got something you're going to really enjoy. The Lord is my shepherd. And you know, my passions and my desires, my fleshly longings can be my shepherd. If I lay aside what God is and what God does, and I am led by what I feel, my feelings become my shepherd. Your family can become your shepherd. Sometimes it's good to be led by family members. Sometimes it's not. The only time it's good to be led by family members is those family members are being led by God. I'll tell you what, parents don't always have the interest of the best interest of their children in mind when they do things. Older brothers and sisters don't always have the best in mind when they do things to influence their younger brothers and sisters. But as a result of what the person allows to happen, they become their shepherd. The government can become your shepherd. You just follow what the government says. Your work, your job, it can become your shepherd. And all your decisions and where you go and what you do, it's in relationship, not to anything else, but to relationship to your job. Finances can become your shepherd. You make all your decisions based upon the financial situation. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. One translation says, I have everything I need. See, there's no other way you can say that. There's no other place that you can go and be able to say, I shall not want. There's no other source that can unconditionally guarantee to provide everything you need. Your spouse can't. Your parents can't. Your children can't. Your boss can't. Your friends can't. It just cannot happen from any other shepherd. Now, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Go with me to John chapter 10. We're going to begin with verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own." That is a powerful portion of Scripture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The ultimate sacrifice. If it means keeping my sheep alive, I will die. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. It meant his death to keep us alive. And so what did he do? He died. Now, who else or what else can you trust that to happen with? I know that there's some of you that have probably gotten in trouble because of some of the people you hung around, because of some of the friends that you've had during your lifetime. And when push came to shove and the roof fell in, what'd your friends do for you? Threw you under the bus? Or deserted out the back window and left you standing in the ruins by yourself? You know all of these things? Your finances, the money you have, it's a hireling. Because there's going to be points where it'll leave you. Your money's not going to solve all your problems. Your money's not going to meet all your needs. Your social position, the authority that you have, the power that you have, the fame that you have, whatever that is, it's not going to stand the ultimate test. It will collapse. It will not die for you. A hireling, he was not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming. And leaves the sheep and flees. Something or somebody that you may have put a lot of confidence in and a lot of trust in. Left you, as the old saying is, holding the bag. Not only did they not know anything or not know what to do, sometimes it's a matter of, well, I don't know them. I didn't have nothing to do with that. I didn't tell them anything. I guess the thing that I'm trying to get us to see this morning is that we have got to understand that something and somebody is leading us. None of us are smart enough that nothing is leading us. We're not independent enough that we can say, nothing has influenced me. Right. If nothing has influenced you, you would be living totally different than what you're living. We've all been influenced. We all have to decide, who is my shepherd? You know what? A shepherd may lead his sheep through a totally barren piece of land. But if he does, the emphasis is not to put his sheep in a barren spot of land to see whether or not they can survive. His purpose is saying, in order to get you to the green pasture, there's no other way to go than through this barren piece of land. And you know what? And you'll find this out. When God's leading, He always goes the way He wants to go, and it's usually the most direct route. Was it God that caused the children of Israel to wander for 40 years in the wilderness? They brought it on themselves. But even when they were in the wilderness, and even as bad as it got, they never ran out of water, they never ran out of food, and God never deserted them. But they spent 40 years in the wilderness, not because God was leading them, but God still led them, even though they brought 40 years in the wilderness upon themselves. Now, if you wanted to be sure when you were going west, you wanted to be sure that you were always where there was water, that you never had any water problem, what you would need to have done gone down the Ohio River, gone up the Mississippi River, got on the Missouri River, followed the Missouri River till you came to the Snake River. It was the Snake River. And then followed the Snake River, and you could have gone all the way out to western Colorado. But you know, that wasn't one of the routes that they took when they were settling the west. That would have been a guarantee that there would have always been water, that there would have always been grass. But what it would have guaranteed was that we're going to travel a long time before we get to where we're going. So if we'll just go this way, but there's nothing out there. Yes, there is. You've just got to trust me. But it's just wilderness. There's a desert out there. Sage grass. There's no rivers. There's water. You got to trust me. Comes back to what Sherry was singing this morning. I look around, man, it looks like a jungle. Look around me, it looks like a barren wilderness. But who's my shepherd? And my shepherd has one intent and purpose, and that is to meet all of the needs that I have as his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Now, I want you to turn with me to one more scripture. And that's in Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13. Begin with verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Stop right there. Let your conduct be without covetousness. You know what produces covetousness? Covetousness is produced by you believing that somebody else has something that you need. If I look at somebody and they've got a nice house, a lot better house than I've got. Covetousness is produced not because I admire their house. I mean, I know a lot of people, they live in wonderful homes, and I appreciate their homes. And I look at them, I think they're beautiful. And I like to drive around looking at homes. But I don't drive through the subdivisions or drive out looking at something and sitting there with the foaming at the mouth that I don't have something like that. Would I take it if I could get it? Well, of course I would. Some of them, if I could get Laverne to agree with it, she says she doesn't want a big house because you have to clean it. But to admire it and to appreciate it does not mean that I'm coveting it. When I covet something, what I am saying is, and what I'm doing is developing an attitude that I want that and I wish it were mine and I do whatever I need to get it. Now, how can you let your conduct be without covetousness? The way you let your conduct be without covetousness is by remembering Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. When you believe, you really believe that you have everything you need, covetousness cannot get into your life. Because nobody else has something that you need. Maybe they've got a bigger one. Maybe they've got a more expensive one. Maybe they've got whatever. And it doesn't have to be a house or a piece of land. It can be a spouse. When you get to believing that somebody else's spouse is better than yours, that's covetousness. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Be content with such things as you have. Paul said, I've learned whatever state I'm in to be content. Now, that does not mean, and he is not saying, based upon the rest of Scripture and the promises of God, he is not saying, if you're in poverty, just accept it. He is saying this. If it looks like you're in poverty, if you fall in the statistics that the government says you're in poverty, don't you believe that you're in poverty. Believe that God is your shepherd. Believe that you have everything you need. Believe that God will take care of you. And don't be so concerned about the statistics. And don't be so concerned about the fact that you got a $10,000 car and they've got a $60,000 car. It's not going to get you there any faster. And it'll cost you a whole lot more to get there. But if you can afford it, enjoy it. But what I'm saying is this. When God is our shepherd, it creates an attitude in us that I am not out of joint. I am not, I don't pout. Oh God, it ain't fair. Look over what they got. Look over what. He said, what have they got that you don't have? What do they got that you don't have? Well, I got the core and I got that this and that. Okay. Look at all that, huh? So your relationship with that car. If you had a car like that, your relationship with that car would be awesome, huh? Your relationship with their house would be awesome, huh? Be content with such things as you have. What is it you have? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What do I have? I have Him. When I don't have anything else, I have Him. Let me amplify a little bit, just in case you may have not heard. But again, like I said, this is a pretty familiar little idea here about God being our shepherd. But listen to what it says in the Amplified in Hebrews chapter 13. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. And be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For He, God Himself, has said. Now, who are you going to put your faith in more, God or the used car salesman you bought the Cadillac from? For He Himself has said, I, you see, you got to make this comparison. Whatever you're following, compare it between what it would say to you and what God would say to you. Will it say, I will not in any way fail you nor give you up nor leave you without support? That's a pretty good guarantee. Do we believe it? I will not. Now, I didn't repeat it just because I wanted to repeat it. That's what's there in the Amplified. Three times. I will not in any degree or under any circumstances leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you, assuredly not. Who said that? My shepherd. My shepherd. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I could change that. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What could ever happen to me? Under the worst circumstances available, under the worst conditions that could possibly be laid out, the worst thing that can happen to me is I fall asleep and wake up at home. That's the worst I've got to look forward to. No matter what happens, the worst thing that can happen is that I fall asleep and wake up home. Why? Because The Lord is my shepherd. It's not an issue this morning of the fact that the Lord is a shepherd. It's not an issue that the Lord is the Lord. The issue is putting an emphasis on it. Can we undeniably, irrefutably say this morning, the Lord is my shepherd? I'm not looking at anything else. If he leads me through those other things, I'm not, you know, the still waters and the green pastures, they're not my shepherd. They're only things that my shepherd uses to take care of my needs. And that's the way we got to look at it. I got my shepherd. My shepherd cares about me. He loves me. He knows where I am. If I get lost out here in the wilderness and 99 of the rest of you are in a safe place, he'll come after me. I got to believe that. The Lord is my shepherd. Aren't you glad he's yours? Amen. Let's stand. And your watch is not broken.